This is the Thursday Impressionistic News Hour from KilnRadio.org from Los Angeles. And today's a special show. It's an analysis. Oh, there'll be the weekly news and review, and there'll be some other things like normal. But basically, I've taken upon myself using as a base a program by Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. Thank you, Ken. To analyze George Bush, the President of the United States, and the whole concept of what terror is. Now, maybe I get shunted off into some different side subjects occasionally, but this is pretty intense. So here we go. This is the Thursday News Hour, the Impressionistic News Hour on Kill Radio.
Muslim scholars and the vast majority of Muslim clerics, a fringe movement that perverts the peaceful teaching of Islam.
This is the weekly news and review from the Harpers.org website and from KillRadio.org. This was posted February 15th, 2005 by Paul Ford. No more Roger D. Hodge. And I'm your faithless host, Bennett, reading this to you and making some comments. So this is about last week. It was Lent. Deep Throat was dying, and the creator of Dolly the Sheep was granted a license to clone humans. Don't tell the religious right in this country. Deep Throat was that mysterious cat who did the stuff with Bernstein and, you know, Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford back in the 70s. Not Linda Lovelace, because she's been dead for a while, and the movie Inside Deep Throat, produced by Brian Grazer, opened and is getting decent reviews, so... Not that Deep Throat. Not the clitoris in the throat Deep Throat. A NASA study found that 2004 was the fourth warmest year on record. And a report showed that between April and September 2001, the Federal Aviation Administration received 52 reports about Al-Qaeda's plans to hijack airplanes. 52 reports that I guess were ignored. Scientists at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service told of being forced to cover up their findings regarding risks to endangered species. Who forced them? 42% said that they feared retaliation if they told the truth. Who forced them? is this the Bush administration trying to deny the problems that we're having? Karl Rove was promoted. Why? Bush's brain doesn't need any promotion. Condoleezza Rice visited Paris and Donald Rumsfeld visited Iraq, where election results were announced. You have not heard the election results on regular media because it's too confusing. So here we go. Several parties gained seats in the newly created Iraqi parliament, including A, the United Iraqi Alliance, B, the Kurdistan Alliance, 3, the Iraqi List, 4, just Iraqis, 5, the Turkmen Iraqi Front, 6, National Independent Elites and Cadres Party, 7, the Communist Party, hooray, 8, the Islamic Kurdish Society, 9, the Islamic Labor Movement in Iraq, 10, the National Democratic Alliance, 11, National Rafidane List, what? And 12, the Reconciliation and Liberation Entity. These people are going to get together and write a constitution for Iraq. Alberto Gonzalez, fascist, was sworn in as Attorney General, and it was discovered that George W. Bush reads newspapers. Oh, no, he has somebody read them to him. He likes his iPod. He listens to Van Morrison and recycles. Laura Bush, meanwhile, fired the White House chef, probably too liberal, and North Korea decided to ramp up its nuclear program in response to threats from the U.S. Hooray, U.S. Saudi Arabia denied that it was shopping for nuclear weapons. Meanwhile, Walmart closed a store in Canada to prevent the store's workers from unionizing. In a separate case, the company agreed to pay $135,540 in fines for breaking child labor laws. Child labor. I wonder where that happened. Hewlett-Packard fired CEO Carly Fiorina. Verizon agreed to buy MCI. That's not good. And Howard Dean was elected chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Now, of course, the right-wingers have been spouting that if the Democrats want to destroy themselves, they'll make Howard Dean the chairman. Well, that's because they are trying to paint Howard Dean as some idiot, when in fact he is, he's been a fiscally conservative governor. He's actually a very good guy. He's a doctor. I mean, you know, they are just like the lies that Al Gore claimed to invent the internet, when in fact most of the people who actually worked on the internet agreed that he was extremely helpful. Lies from the Republicans. Now they're trying to destroy Howard Dean before he has any more power. Republicans are like the following. Chimpanzees were found to have a sense of justice. See, chimpanzees are better than Republicans. And secret documents showed that Cambridge University, among other institutions, has neglected and tortured monkeys in its laboratories. The monkeys screamed in fear and anger and tried to escape from their boxes. The Pope, meanwhile, endorsed suffering, so it's okay, I guess, if monkeys suffer. The last witness, by the way, let's get rid of this old fart, the Pope. Let's just get rid of him. The last witness to the miraculous appearance of the Virgin Mary at Fatima died. Whew. And a Canadian, that was back in like 1916 or something. And a Canadian clinic planned to offer prescription heroin. Ooh, I'm heading there. The Supreme Court of California decided to allow mentally retarded death row prisoners to appeal their cases. Of course, somebody has to do it for them. A 4-year-old Michigan boy sneaked out of the house and drove his mother's car to a video store where police shot him 10 times. And NASA decided to scrap the Hubble Space Telescope, which only cost $16 billion. The Commerce Department announced that the U.S. had a $672 billion trade deficit in 2004, thanks George Bush. A New York City man died of a new drug-resistant and extremely virulent strain of HIV. That caused AIDS in him in only 20 months. Woo, pretty fast. Mahmoud Abbas and Ariel Sharon shook hands across the table and declared a truce between Israel and Palestine. I'll believe it when the bombing stops. The Queen of Denmark sued Missy Elliott for infringing on her crest. Prince Charles was engaged to Camilla Parker Bowles, who cares? And conservatives began considering Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty for the 2008 election presidency type thing. Congress was once more casting its eye toward the oil in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The Bush administration continued to promote its plan to gut Social Security. And actor Tom Sizemore tried to cheat on a drug test by using a fake penis to pass urine. That's true, if you heard about that. That's true. A Swedish woman found a medium-sized penis in a bottle of ketchup. I will never buy this brand again, she said. Zimbabwean women, track and field star, give me a break. Samukileso Setol turned out to be male. Wow. Setol, who owns several beasts, claims that his penis has grown in only recently. Lots of penis stories this week. I have a giant penis. The government of Uganda was concerned about a production of the play, The Vagina Monologues, Penises and Vaginas. The author of the film is a known lesbian who lives with another woman, said James Nasaba Buturo, the Minister of Information. She worships the female sex organ, seeing it as her god. Yes. Alan Keyes disowned his daughter and threw her out of his house because she is a lesbian. It was discovered that the United States has been sending unmanned drones to spy on Iran's nuclear facilities since April 2004. United States immigration authorities were evaluating a program that uses unmanned drones to patrol the border of Arizona and Mexico. And Israel unveiled a tiny new drone that can be launched from a canister. Israel has also developed a bomb that stinks for 5 years. Meanwhile, anti-Semitism was on the rise in London. There were complaints of arson, beatings, and the mailing of a snuff box filled with excrement. In Afghanistan, a French soldier committed suicide, and at the Best Buy in the Hudson Valley Mall in Kingston, New York, a man ran amok with an AK-47, injuring an army recruiter. Arthur Miller died, death of a playwright, and one out of six British secondary school students identified Winston Churchill as an insurance salesman. A Kansas woman left mute by a 1984 head injury began to speak again. "Okay," she said. Okay. General Motors was spending more for health care than for steel, and a study showed that lobsters probably don't feel pain when they are boiled. So yeah, see, there was so much news last week. I've been talking for over 10 minutes. You must be tired of hearing my voice. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to kill your friends.
Including women and children. Solemn pledge. I will work to build a single nation of justice and opportunity.
Individuals who hide in caves in remote parts of the world, individuals who have these kind of shadowy networks, individuals who deal with rogue nations. And so we need a good intelligence system. We need really good intelligence. So the commission I set up is to obviously analyze what went right or what went wrong with the Iraqi intelligence. It's kind of lessons learned. But it's really set up to make sure the intelligence services provide as good a product as possible for future presidents as well.
The United States respects the
analyzing where we are on the
after all, we are currently its largest source of humanitarian aid.
There is a lot of investigation.
But we condemn the Taliban regime.
To look at the intelligence gathering without giving away state secrets. And I look forward to all the investigations and looks. It's, again, I repeat to you, the capacity to have good intelligence.
Americans have known surprise attacks never before with thousands of civilians
fighting this war on terror.
All of this was brought upon us in a single day.
In Great Britain. Yeah. His is going to be
and night fell on a different world.
Right. Ours is not going to be until March.
A world where freedom itself
5 months after the presidential
is under attack.
Shouldn't the American people have the benefit of the commission before the election?
Well, the reason why we gave it time is because we didn't want it to be hurried. This is a strategic look, kind of a big picture look about the intelligence gathering capacities of the United States of America, whether it be the capacity to gather intelligence in North Korea. Or how we used our intelligence to, for example, learn more information.
The terrorist directive commands them to kill Christians and Jews.
And it's important that this investigation take its time. I don't look, we're in a political season. I fully understand that he's trying to avoid responsibility. There's going to be ample time for the American people to assess whether or not I made a good calls. Whether or not I used good judgment, whether or not I made the right decision in removing Saddam Hussein from power. And I look forward to that debate, and I look forward to talking to the American people about why I made the decisions I made. The commission I set up, Tim, is one that will help future presidents understand how best to fight the war on terror. And it's an important part of the kind of lessons learned in Iraq and lessons learned in Afghanistan prior to us going in, lessons learned that we can apply to both Iran and North Korea, because we still have a dangerous world. And that's very important for
we'll be right back.
the nation as well. In this trial, we have been reminded, and the world has seen, that our fellow Americans are generous and kind. Our unity is a kinship of grief and a steadfast resolve to prevail against our enemies. This nation is peaceful.
Osama bin Laden is
but fierce and stern anger.
And he represents the nature of the enemy.
This conflict was begun on the timing and terms of others.
These are
the
people
list of casualties
that will kill in a moment's
notice. We're only beginning to read.
And they'll kill innocent women and children. And
these are the names of men and women who began their day at a desk or an
trying to find them. There's a lot of focus on Iraq, and there should be.
The
but we've got thousands of troops, agents,
and in their
allies
home to
on the hunt.
Brave,
and we're doing a pretty good job of dismantling Al-Qaeda, better than a pretty good job, a very good job.
We see our national character.
I keep saying in my speeches, two-thirds of known Al-Qaeda leaders have been captured or are killed, and that's the truth.
You have a pretty good idea where Osama is?
In thousands of citizens who have asked to work and serve.
You know, I'm not going to comment on that.
Let me turn to Iraq. And this is the whole idea of what you based your decision to go to war on. The night you took the country to war, March 17th, you said this. Intelligence gathered by this and other governments leaves no doubt that the Iraq regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised.
Right.
That apparently is not the case.
Correct.
How do you respond to critics who say that you brought the nation to war under false pretenses?
Yes. First of all, I expected to find the weapons. I'm sitting behind this desk making a very difficult decision of war and peace. And I based my decision on the best intelligence possible, intelligence that had been gathered over the years, intelligence that not only our analysts thought was valid, but analysts from other countries thought was valid.
Every child must be taught.
And I made a decision based upon that intelligence in the context of the war against terror. In other words, we were attacked, and therefore every threat had to be reanalyzed. Every threat had to be looked at. Every potential harm to America had to be judged in the context of this war on terror. And I made the decision, obviously, to take our case to the international community in the hopes that we could achieve a disarmament of Saddam Hussein peacefully.
In the tactics of terror,
we look at the intelligence and we remember the fact that he had used weapons.
Matches a commitment to principle.
We knew the fact that he had
concern for support. Civil society demands from each of us goodwill and respect, fair dealing, and forgiveness.
And that was the intelligence.
Some seem to believe that our politics can afford to be petty. And tonight, the United States of America makes the following demands on the Taliban.
And so,
because in a time of peace, the stakes of our debates appear small.
But
the stakes for America are never small.
Has found.
If our country does
weapons.
Not lead the cause of freedom, it will
well,
not
David
be led.
K goes in and says, we
if
have
we
a
do not turn the hearts
yet,
of children toward knowledge and
the
character,
went.
We will lose their
they
gifts and undermine
the
their idealism.
Saddam and his
you said we're headed to war in Iraq.
Them.
I don't know why you say that. I hope we're not headed to war in Iraq. I'm the person who gets to decide, not you.
If we permit our economy to drift and decline, the vulnerable
we'll find out.
Will suffer most.
The Iraqi survey group.
We must live up to the calling we share.
But David Kaye
civility is not a tactic or a sentiment.
Saddam had the capacity.
It is the determined choice of trust over
Saddam
cynicism,
Hussein
of community
was dangerous
over chaos.
With weapons.
And this commitment,
Saddam
if we
Hussein
keep it, is a way
to
share
the accomplishment. He was a dangerous man.
America at his best is also courageous.
And I made
our
the decision
courage has been clear
to go to the United Nations.
When defeating common dangers
to
find our common good.
Unaccounted for stockpiles
now we must
that you
choose
had,
the example of our fathers and mothers.
Because I don't think America can stand by and hope for the best from a madman.
We
and
must show
I believe
courage
it is essential.
In a time of blessing.
I believe it is essential
by
that when we see a threat,
instead of passing them on
we deal with those threats before they become imminent. It's too late if they become imminent. It's too late in this new kind of war. So that's why I made the decision I made.
President, AWOL or Deserter, Part 2. A couple days ago, the Bush administration office showed some illegible Xeroxed papers that they referred to as pay stubs from 1973 in Alabama, showing that Mr. Bush did get paid for doing something there, and therefore that proves that he was there. Well, it doesn't prove anything, and he knows better than that. I guess it's important to say why this is an issue. It wasn't an issue in 2000. Al Gore decided not to jump on it or anything like that, even though we all heard about it back then, if you're in this business. But in 2000, Bush wasn't sending American soldiers to their deaths. He wasn't sending the National Guard to Iraq. Back when Bush was in the National Guard, the National Guard didn't go to Vietnam and fight in the war. The National Guard stayed home. And because we don't have the draft anymore, thank you, we're using people like the National Guard to go over to Iraq, and that's been happening. There have been tragic results all along, you know, with stuff like that. Bush on Sunday on Tim Russert, actually, when he was asked the question about his service in the National Guard, immediately jumped to a thing that you shouldn't say anything against the National Guard. Well, nobody was saying anything against the National Guard, scumbag. We were saying that you didn't serve your time. You didn't fill it out. Now, as I said before, you know, Mr. Bush, if didn't want to fight over in Vietnam, we can understand that. I'm old enough to have been there at that time. I can understand that. But for you to cover up over what you did at that time, while American soldiers are needlessly dying in a conflict which we started and we shouldn't be doing, then you have everybody has the right to demand more information from you. If you're going to wave the flag and hide behind the flag, then damn it, you better have done your service too. Al Gore did his service. John Kerry did his service. Wesley Clark did his service. You avoided being in the service. Well, I've already gone over the details of what your record were. So there's no need to go through that again. Anybody can find it if they want to look it up. But this is a deal. And when some right-winger tells you that it's not important, or Bush goes on that this is just politics. No, it's not just politics. The difference is that you're sending soldiers out, and if the soldiers you were sending out did what you did, you'd be court-martialing them. You instead, because you were the son of a congressman, got passed on and got let out early. And you know that you covered your ass. That's why you did 36 days or so of work over 3 months in 73 in order to get your early leave from the National Guard. You signed for a six-year commitment. And you left early. And I find it impossible to believe that if you were there, there'd be somebody who'd step forward and say, I was there too, and I remember him serving.